So far. So far, so good, you know.
This is Philip Gray talking, and the following tape is a conversation with Louis Kesselman in his home in Greensboro, Vermont, on Tuesday evening, November, what is the date, Louis? 17, is
18.
It? 18. November 18, 1975. Last August, Louis, at a birthday party, you talked a little about your experiences as a boy in Odessa, and I hadn't heard all of that story before about your getting mixed up with the battleship Potemkin and so on. And I think people would be very interested if you could just talk to us about your boyhood in Odessa.
About what?
Your boyhood in Odessa, and how you got mixed up with the Revolutionary Party in Odessa, and particularly your remembrance of the battleship Potemkin and the insurrection there. So why don't you just talk about your boyhood in Odessa, what you did there and all the rest of it.
Well, up till I was 14 or 15 years old, I didn't know anything about these things, about revolutionary activities. But I went to work for a man as a helper. I don't remember at that time. I think I was a helper. And there was a man working there, and he was supposed to be, he was a revolutionary. He was supposed to be the most educated man in that trade. And he influenced me.
This was the trade of tailoring, wasn't it?
Tailoring, yeah.
Yeah.
And he influenced me to become a revolutionary. Well, I did. And I was active in it till I was about 19. 19 I skipped, got out of the of Odessa, and I went to work where there was a base close to the line. You know, the
Frontier?
Huh?
The Frontier?
Frontier. The name of the town was Vilna. There was a base there. You must remember that I was a military tailor then. And I got a job for the purpose of earning money to come to this country. Well, I don't remember how the particulars, how it happened that I was on my way to the Black Sea, to the wharf, would that be the wharf?
The harbor.
The harbor, yeah, that would be the word. The harbor. As I was going in the morning, the night before, there was a massacre, I've heard. And when I came to the corner where there was a drugstore, the ground was full of blood. And I made inquiries what was taking place. They told me there was a lot of shooting. People were killed. And
well, now, was this in Vilna?
In Odessa.
Oh, in Odessa.
I was returning back.
Oh, returning, yeah.
To my story. Well, I was on my way to the wharf again. What was it?
Well, you were going down to the dock, were you?
To the dock.
Yeah.
There was, well, anyway, because I heard there was trouble there. I heard that there was a battleship by the name Potemkin, Князь Потемкин, that's Prince Potemkin.
Oh, yes.
And there was a sailor was killed. The reason he was killed was that he complained to his superior that they found a worm either on the soup or on the meat. I don't know.
Was he speaking for himself, or was he delegated by the crew
that
to
register
a complaint?
Most of it. They were out on maneuvers on this battleship.
Yes.
And when he complained to his superior about the worm, his superior took a gun and shot him. Then the sailors took all of those in command and threw them overboard. except those that were with him. They knew. And so I came down to the shore there. The dead sailor was lying there. And there was a container of some kind that people threw change into it, you know. So it's to bury him.
Mm.
Well, I really don't remember the particulars, just how, whether it was the same day or the next day they were to bury him. And I followed the funeral. That I remember. I followed the funeral, and but before that, those on the battleship warned the police that there is going to be a funeral, and they shouldn't mess with any of us. And because they said they'll blow up the city. And they released two rockets. Everybody heard those. But the rockets were not in the city, but outside of the city, where there was no residential. There were no cars in those days, you know.
Yes.
So, well, I walked for the procession, and the police did try to scare us. They came in our midst, you know, and scared us, and we run away, and I come back, you know, and I come back. We finally went to the burying.
The cemetery.
Cemetery. And I heard flaming orations, you know, all about this, you know, by revolutionaries. Now, from there, I don't remember a thing from then on, but I remember that when during that time when I was down there at the wharf, they brought on a wagon, they brought food to take with them, you know, on the battleship. And I went up. There was the battleship was not at the wharf. It was way off because it was too shallow for them. So they had to have a small boat. I went on the small boat to help them with the provision. And then I went up to the big one. It was a big ship.
You helped to row this boat out with the supplies?
Huh?
You helped to row the boat out?
No. To help the... To carry the provision, that's all. Didn't help.
Oh, it wasn't a rowboat.
No. It was a ship. It was a pretty good-sized ship.
Oh.
So, It was operated with power.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was my part. That's as much as my part was on that ship. That was the end of that. Now, and then, of course, the funeral. I don't remember whether it was the same day or the next day. But as there was at another time, this is something I don't remember, how I happened to be on a bridge, cement bridge. There were three bridges. Looking over to the Black Sea, and I saw a tremendous fire. The fire was told started by men that work stevedores, you know.
Yeah.
At the wharf for ships. You know, ships will come there from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a great big shipping center. And there was liquor in the storehouses. There was a row of them, I remember that. A row of storehouses. And there was liquor there, and they got that liquor, and they got drunk and set a fire. And while I was standing and watching the fire, I heard back of me somebody saying, in Russian, he says, "This is the Russian foundation is burning."
Oh, do you remember the Russian for that?
Huh?
Do you remember the Russian for that?
Of course.
Why don't you tell us the Russian?
Ruskiya ustoy garet. And I looked around and I saw a student in uniform, of the university student in uniform.
Yes.
So I knew that was a revolutionary, you know. He said, "The Russian foundation is burning in Russia."
Mm.
Well, as to how as to the time after that, I can't remember, and I found myself in Vilna on my way here. After that, I can't remember the details, just exactly what it was. And I went with another young revolutionary because he had an uncle who could secure a fictitious passport for the two of us.
Oh.
And of course, I went to work and I earned the money and we got the passports. Well, he won by the way of Finland. And I remember, well, we were at the station in Finland, station, railway station. We wanted to see the city a little bit. That was in St. Petersburg. And we went, it was a beautiful town. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. Wide streets, you know, and right in the middle, there was a park. Very beautiful place. Yeah. Well, we went back to the station. We had to wait. That's the reason we went. We had time to take a walk. Went back to the station. We took the train. We took the train. I'm pretty sure of that. And we went to Helsingfors. And as soon as I got over the line, I was the happiest man in the world. I was only 19 years old.
Yes.
Oh, I said to myself, here's freedom.
Oh.
Well, we went to Helsingfors and we had to stay overnight. And I took sick. I don't know, I must have eaten something that made me sick. I remember that. Then the following day, I believe it was the following day, we took another train. Now that I don't remember. Either a train or by water, we went to a place by name Hull, that's in England.
Yes.
And from there, we went to, I can't remember that, whether it was by train or it was by boat.
Well, from Finland to Hull, it would have to be by boat.
By boat. Well, maybe that's the way that. Then from Hull, I'm pretty sure that we took a boat to Glasgow. And in Glasgow, we took the boat for this country, for USA. Well, that's as far as I can go so far. Now, what would be your questions?
Well, let's go back a little, Louis. Were you born in Odessa?
Yeah.
Did you live with your parents until you were 19?
No. My parents died when I was 3 years old.
Oh. Both of them died when you were three.
Both of them died when I was 3 years old. And I don't remember them at all. Mm. And when I was 7 years old, I remember my older sister, led me to a home. I didn't have any home, and there were no schools at that time, so I didn't go to school. There were no public schools. And I had to have a home, so she led me to this place as an apprentice. I must have been about 7 years old. I really don't know exactly. And I was to stay there 5 years.
Was this a tailor shop?
Tailor shop.
Where your sister took you? Did you live with the tailor or did you live with your sister?
No, I couldn't live with my sister because she didn't have any home either. She had to work somewhere as a domestic.
Where did you live, Louis?
At this tailor's place.
I see.
Yeah. Slept on the floor. Mm. And, well, and
you told me once that you weren't even fed properly while you were working for that military tailor, and you used to steal buttons.
I didn't steal the buttons.
Oh.
Because I didn't have to. They took off the buttons. They were metal buttons. And if they didn't shine good enough, they took them off and replaced them with new ones. And they didn't have any use for them, so they gave them to me.
These were officers' uniforms.
Officers' uniforms, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what did you do with the buttons?
I gave them to the kids who had parents who could get bread, and I exchanged them, and they played with the buttons.
They went to pawn shops with the buttons?
No, they played, the kids, the children.
Oh,
used to play
played
among themselves, you know.
And they brought bread from home in exchange for the buttons.
Mm. I was a growing child, and I wanted to eat, and I didn't have it, so I was lucky I could get those buttons.
Do you remember the master tailor that you worked with?
Yes, I remember.
What was he like?
Well, he was a family man. He had a wife and children, and he was I had more than one of them because when you are a child without parents, what do you call it?
Orphan?
Orphan. When you're an orphan, they take advantage of you. They can lick you any time they want. They could do anything with you.
Was the master tailor pretty hard on you?
Oh, yeah. Every one of them. So I would run away from him, and I got another job, and things like that. Until I got on my own feet, I must have been about 17 when I took out work on my own. And I had somebody helping me.
Oh, you set up your own tailor shop.
Yeah.
Were you also a military tailor?
Military, yeah. I didn't know anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came to this country, that nature of work wasn't of any use because it was all civilian. So I had to start all over again. I didn't have any means. All my means was gone, you know, were gone that I earned in Vilna.
If you had stayed in Odessa after the episode of the battleship Potemkin, would the police have arrested you for a revolutionary?
No, they wouldn't have arrested me. I was arrested before, you know. I was arrested twice. The second time I was arrested for building barricades, and I was in the real prison, but they have political offenders. But I was lucky. I must have been there about a couple of weeks or 3 weeks. I don't know. When the Tsar issued a manifesto to let us loose. And so I wasn't so bad though. But when they took us off the barricades, and they put us into kind of a dungeon with the rats running around there. And some of the boys and girls, they tore their hair out, and they licked them with the straps made out of leather, in the face and all over them. And I come out of it. Luckily, they threw me downstairs, so I didn't break anything. It was quite a lot of steps, stairs.
Louis, you said that you turned up at one point and found a lot of blood on the streets where there had been a massacre the day before. Did this take place before the battleship Potemkin put into the harbor?
It was at that time, I think. I think it was at that time. It was the night before I went to observe what's going on. That was the night before, and I've heard some talk, but I wasn't sure. But when I came to the place, I saw the blood.
Who was responsible for the massacre?
I don't know. It was, I suppose, the police and the and some revolutionaries. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, this insurrection of the, or mutiny of the crew of the Potemkin took place in 1905, didn't it?
1905, yeah.
Yes. And later on, the insurrection broke out again in October of 1905, and the police, or the military too, put it down with great brutality. And I've heard that 80,000 people were forced to leave Odessa after the insurrection broke out again in the fall of 1905.
I wouldn't know that.
But 80,000 people, it must have left quite a hole in Odessa.
Yeah.
How large a city was it when you lived there, Louis?
It was this, I don't know, it was, I should think it was the size of Boston. But it had a great seaport there, you see.
Yes.
That's what made it so.
Yeah. Well, that went back to Greek days. You know, the Greeks founded the city, Odessus, between the estuaries of the Dnieper and the Dniester rivers.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Now, when you're telling me about these thousands that had to leave, I was already on my way, and I didn't know what happened. But when I came to this country, I was interested in the ship, what happened with this battleship. They cruised around and tried to get off at different places and leave the ship, but in some places they were afraid of Russia to let them in. But I was so interested in my own troubles that I have forgotten all about it.
Where did the Potemkin finally...
It disembarked somewhere. I can't remember whether it was in England or France. I can't remember that.
Well, you said the Potemkin was on maneuvers in the Black Sea
the
time.
That's right.
Well, what happened to the other ships that were with the fleet? Didn't they see the Potemkin steaming away? Weren't they aware that there had been a mutiny on the Potemkin?
I don't know. That I wouldn't be able to tell you. It seems as though I've heard, I'm not sure, I've heard that Russia wouldn't want to lose that ship. It was one of the very best ones, you know.
Was it a ship of the line, a full-size battleship?
Sure, it was
it
a battleship.
It wasn't a cruiser, it was a big battleship.
A battleship, yeah, it was a battleship, a big one. Oh, yeah. It was the real thing. Beautiful thing to see. God, we've seen it. Wow. Jesus, beautiful. I saw it quite a ways off. It couldn't come to the close to the shores there because it wasn't deep enough.
Yes. When you sailed from Glasgow, you landed in Boston, didn't you?
Landed in New York.
New York. Oh. But you didn't stay in New York very long, did you?
Well, I stayed. I don't remember. Maybe I stayed there a year, and maybe 9 months, then I went to Boston.
Were you working in a tailor establishment in New York?
Yeah.
Do you remember the name of it?
Oh, no. Well, I didn't have any means, so I had to get anything I could. And I saw a door was opening and a man was running a machine, and I said, I have no place to stay, and I'll help you with your work. Let me sleep on the bench. And he did.
This was a tailor shop.
A tailor, he was just one man. So, and not knowing anything, I couldn't speak the language, and I couldn't understand, and I read the Jewish papers, and I saw an ad after a little while as a helper, and I got the job. And I got pretty good paid because I was grounded in that work, you know. But I couldn't produce a garment. I had to learn, but my sewing was good, and I was fast and all of that. And so it was worth to him. And this man had a. He used to take work making coats out of 50th Avenue an establishment, a very high-grade custom tailoring.
Why did you leave?
So I got the job.
Yes. Why did you leave New York for Boston, Louis?
Well, there was another young fellow that had relatives in Boston, so I went with him, and we both stayed with his relatives. And I got a job, and we paid rent and eats. When you're 19 years old, you know, it's different.
How did America look to you after you got here, Louis?
Oh, gee. Of course, I was in trouble. No home, no money, no nothing, you know. I was in trouble that way, but you can get by somehow. I had to find my way. I just had to find my way. And little by little I did.
You worked for a Filene's department store, didn't you, in Boston?
No.
Oh, I thought you told me once you worked.
No, I didn't work for Filene.
Oh.
I worked for... A firm by name That was ladies' tailoring. Because the conditions were better. So I went to a ladies' tailoring. The name was... Hollander.
Oh, yes.
Hollander.
J.P. Hollander.
Huh? L.P. Hollander. That was a big firm. It was a good one. And...
How long did you live in Boston?
I lived in Boston till 19... till 1911. I took sick in 1910. Mm-hmm. I took sick in 1910 and I went to sanitarium and stayed there 18 months. And I got that. I took sick. Must have been in January or the beginning of January or the end of January. I don't remember. And I got out of there in June, and I came to this town the 26th of June in 1911.
Mm. How did you hear about Greensboro, Louis?
Well, there was... I knew a man, a friend of mine, who introduced me to some people by name Parker. And this Parker was teeth extractor, Dr. Parker, and he had a brother here by name Parker. You know, they called this the Parker Point?
Yes.
Well, at that time, of course, these people, these Parkers, were interested. They came originally from Littleton, New Hampshire, and they were interested in people that come who have lived in Russia and suffered and fought the government, and so they got interested in me. And when their sister, there were seven brothers and one sister, and when their sister was going to her brother here, I came with her. She was a lady, I don't know, 70 years old. Mm-hmm. And she had a daughter. Her name was Mrs. Taylor. And my idea was to come here to work on a farm and get rid of tailoring, because I thought I felt that my trouble was brought on by not having enough exercise and fresh air. Working on a farm, I'll get that, but they put me to work to do hard shoveling and all of that. I couldn't do it. So
what farm in Greensboro did you work at first, Louis?
What?
What farm around here did you work at?
There used to be a farm where Perron's, where the Perron's are. There used to be a man by name Kinney, Myron Kinney. And I went to work for him. But I couldn't stand the hard work. But I had and I had to have money, so I went back to the city after I built up a little during the summer. And the season comes on in, say, September or something like that, October. So I went to the city and I got a job, and I broke down again. And I went back to the doctor that found my trouble in the first place, and I told him the history, that I had been in the sanitarium and I came here and all that. He says, you stay away from the city. You go back to the country and stay there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you came up and pitched a tent in Greensboro.
Yeah.
How many years did you live in a tent here, Louis?
I really can't remember. Mm-hmm. Quite a number of years. I just can't remember.
Where was your tent here in the village?
Well, I had it all over the place.
Oh, you kept moving around like the Arab, like the nomads.
Yeah.
Oh.
I had it back of the first place I had it back of the Stewart's camp. You remember Stewart's cottage? Stewart's?
Yes.
Back of that.
Oh, yeah.
First one. And then I went to another place going. Now there's a settlement. At that time there wasn't anything. Where Perron, what's his name? The builder, you know.
Victor Perron.
I was in there, and then I come down this way. I had a number of places. Then little by little, I began. I took work in the tent. Things that fur, for instance, working on fur, you couldn't. Did not have any iron, you know, or anything. Just sewing, so I used to get a nickel here, a dime there, a quarter there. And I, little by little, I
wore a coat the other night that you had remodeled from Professor Clive Day's fur coat, fur-lined coat. You remodeled for me. You remember that? You did a beautiful job with that.
A fur-lined coat?
Fur-lined coat.
I remodeled?
Yes. He had a slighter build than I have, so
yeah,
you enlarged it somehow or other. Did a beautiful job.
I don't remember that. I don't remember. A fur-lined coat.
Right, with a fur collar. Very fancy. When did you build this house here, Louis?
1922.
Mm. You had quite a bit of tailoring equipment by that time, didn't you?
Yeah.
Your bench and your irons and machines.
Yeah, I had an electric iron and I had a machine. I picked it up in different places for cheap, you know. And I've built up. I've learned designing and little by little. It took time.
Mm.
From 1911, it took 11 years until I built this place.
Mm.
11 years.
Remember a summer or two ago, you sang a Russian song for us. Do you remember that, Louis?
No.
Do you remember the song?
No.
You don't remember a Russian song, eh?
No.
Oh, dear.
You do, you say?
Well, I remember you were singing it, and it's too bad you don't remember it. It was a nice song. Well, Louis, I'm very grateful to you. Спасибо, господин.
Yeah.
Очень хорошо.
It was a tough life, you know.
Uh-huh.
A tough life.
Well, as you look back on your life, you must be fairly satisfied, Louis. You worked hard and you've earned everything you've enjoyed. On the first side of this tape, you have been listening to Louis Kesselman talk about his boyhood and youth in Odessa, Russia, carrying the story forward to the time he built his house in Greensboro. Louis was 90 this past summer, the oldest active member of the Greensboro community. On this side of the tape, I'd like to add to Louis's reminiscences several of the portraits of old-time residents of Greensboro, selected from my forthcoming book, Greensboro Remembers, Poems for the Bicentennial.